Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Wrestle Chat Radio, our Extreme Rules wrap-up show. And for the benefit of all of those people who I know have been waiting with bated breath since around 11 o'clock last night to hear me go absolutely berserk about the pay-per-view last night, you probably tuned into the wrong radio show today, folks.
Fastball and a high drive into deep left center field. It's away out and gone.
That's right, folks. Last night, the WWE, whether it was blind luck or divine intervention, hit a grand slam home run, in my opinion. We're going to talk about it at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Folks, as much as we get on the WWE, and no one gets on them more than us, you have to play this fair. And if you were not entertained by last night's Extreme Rules pay-per-view, then you are not a WWE fan, and you should really stop wasting your time. This was easily the best pay-per-view of the year, and one of the best pay-per-views of the last couple of years. And it started out on the pre-show with a match we didn't even know we were going to get, as Shinsuke Nakamura took on Finn Balor. And I got to tell you, by the way, that Finn Balor looked like the minute Finn Balor came out, and this is why I'm not a huge Finn Balor fan. A lot of people get on me about that, but the minute Finn Balor came out, I knew he was losing. His whole facial expressions, everything changed. Everything. He was going through the motions, but I'm saying to myself, he's walking like a guy who knows he's losing. And lo and behold, he lost. Now, a professional doesn't do that. A really top-notch wrestler does not give away the ending of a match with his entrance or his facial expressions or his body language or his mannerisms. Finn Balor did. Aside from that, I don't know what the deal is with Finn Balor, but there were a couple of comments made during that match that really makes me think Finn Balor may not be all that happy in the WWE. I don't remember the last time I heard Corey Graves or anyone associated with a Finn Balor match call say anything except he's an extraordinary man who does extraordinary things. He's capable of the most extraordinary things. Last night it was Shinsuke Nakamura is just simply too much for Finn Balor. That's exactly what they said. No, he's just too much for him. Okay. Brock Lesnar wasn't. Oh, he could possibly pull off the greatest upset ever because he's an extraordinary man who does extraordinary things. Shinsuke Nakamura in there? Yeah, he's too much for him. Now, to Shinsuke Nakamura's credit, Shinsuke Nakamura looked great. It was a good match. Balor did a good job in the match. I'm not saying he dogged the match. Balor did not dog the match. Balor looked like a guy who knew he was losing on the way out, though. Absolutely the right decision. You've done absolutely zero with Finn Balor as the champion. He has drawn flies. He has drawn no interest. He does not have the personality except if he puts that paint on. And even that's getting old. He does not have that charisma. I'm sorry, he doesn't. You put a mic in his hand and it's done. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, you can't do it with Shinsuke either. Yeah, but you sort of can. Nakamura has that weird sort of body language, facial expression. He don't have to say that much to get across his point. And man, is Shinsuke Nakamura going to make a good champion. I can host of people in line that I want to see fight him. A host of people. We may be staring down the barrel of some really great Intercontinental title matches now, and we weren't having them before. We just weren't. So what a great decision. And it was a breath of fresh air because I said, well, let's see what happens. Let's see if it's going to be business as usual and Shinsuke just gets back to being, you know, poor old Shinsuke, who we bring him out and dust off the mothballs every once in a while, but he doesn't win anything, or if they're going to actually utilize him. And they utilized him, didn't they? They utilized him very well. And this is a guy I'm sure that Eric Bischoff's going to run with for a while. We'll probably get some rematches, but I think you're going to run with him for a while. Mike, I thought it was a really excellent match and an excellent decision.
I thought it was an excellent match and an excellent decision, too. And look, here's something. You said you talked about the people we could fight. You know, I mean, we know what Shinsuke was doing before this, and what he was doing was probably in a match with in a tag team with a guy that didn't make sense. And Rusev. And Rusev's coming back. We know that. That could be one of the first guys up for Shinsuke, you know?
Absolutely could be, and it would be a great idea. Now, Derek is saying they really did deserve better than the pre-show. Yes, they did. But I'm not so sure this wasn't a last-minute decision. And on top of that, I think they wanted to show something big on the pre-show to try to get people to really pay attention. The pre-show, not much ever really happens on these pre-show matches. So I think they wanted for once for it to be wait a minute, something did happen during a pre-show match. So I'll forgive that this time. I agree that that championship should never, ever, ever, ever be defended on the pre-show ever again. But for this one time, I'll let that slide based on the fact that I think they made the right call. And I think that they probably thought this was going to be a great warm-up for the crowd, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I think that was also a great decision right there to have Shinsuke Nakamura be the Intercontinental Champion. Now you get to see him. Now you get to see that title get defended more often and bring back the prestiges in it.
Yeah, you know, it's not that Finn Balor couldn't have brought prestige to it. It's just that they didn't see him as a guy they could book that way. And it wasn't panning out that way. And sometimes you got to say, I don't know, man, we've went this direction. What's next? You could have done some great Aleister Black matches with him, I guess. But, you know, you could still do it. The belt doesn't necessarily have to be on the line. And I think probably that's what they were thinking is, look, we could do Aleister Black and Finn Balor, but it doesn't have to be for a belt. We could end up Shinsuke Nakamura and Aleister Black. We could end up all kinds of different things. But we just got to get the belt off Finn because he's not selling it well enough as champion. I'm interested to see what they will do with Shinsuke Nakamura now. We then get Tony Nese, Drew Gulak. They put on as good a match as they could. It was a good, solid match. Drew Gulak's in his hometown, so he's not going to get booed. It was a tough night for Tony Nese. Gulak retains. That's fine. There's not much to say there. So let's start right out with the opening match of the main card, which is the match I was least looking forward to. Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre stumbling to the ring to take on Roman Reigns and The Undertaker. Fresh off an embarrassment of a wrestling match. And I mean an embarrassment of a wrestling match. I had zero expectations. And here's exactly what I thought was going to happen. Roman Reigns is going to get in the ring. He's going to fight for about 9-10 minutes, keep trying to make that hot tag, Can't do it. Finally does do it. Undertaker comes in for all of a minute. Starts beating people up. And that'll have to suffice because The Undertaker just simply doesn't have it in him anymore. Man, was I wrong. The Undertaker starts the match. He's a house of fire. He's moving like he was 15 years ago. He's not even getting winded. Corey Graves called it right when someone said, well, The Undertaker likes a methodical, slow pace. He's like, I don't see anything methodical and slow. And there wasn't. Wasn't a damn thing methodical and slow about anything he did. It was an amazing performance by The Undertaker. And what a tremendous match storyline-wise. Tremendous storyline match. Totally sucked me in. 100% huge fan of this match. This match reminded me of old school wrestling more than anything I've seen in 5 years. Because it really told a legit story. Totally sucked into this match. And I was so happy to see The Undertaker sort of make up for this debacle in Saudi Arabia and show the fans that wasn't me. That was not me. Here I am and I'm doing fine. And man, did he ever do fine. I mean, he went through tables. He did all kinds of stuff. It was fast-paced to an extent. I think he was in the match longer than Roman Reigns. Now, as far as the ending is concerned, I don't know where they're going with this. It's a little weird. If he's going to fight Drew McIntyre, okay, I get it. But Shane McMahon, I guess they really are phasing Shane McMahon out quickly because Shane McMahon took the pinfall and didn't look too good by doing it. He basically just got his ass kicked. Now, if The Undertaker can put on that kind of performance, and I give full credit to Drew McIntyre too. See, here's the thing. Drew McIntyre has not been utilized the way he should be utilized. He has not been able to really show what he can do. He's not really put his chops in yet. And last night we saw some of Drew McIntyre's chops. We saw Drew McIntyre go nose to nose with The Undertaker. I'm not afraid. I'm ready to just, you know, light into you. Then we saw Drew McIntyre slowly face the reality of this is The Undertaker. This is not going to be easy. And then get to the point where he's saying, I don't know what it's going to take. And you could see it in his face. What is this going to take? It's not going to work. We've done this. We've done that. It's not working. Panic started to ensue. He was able to convey all that to that audience with his face and his mannerisms. Great job by Drew McIntyre. Great job by Shane McMahon, actually, too, who looked like he was going to piss his pants half the night. Say what you want about Shane. I don't want him featured either. I think it's dumb that a guy that his age and his level of skill is supposed to be able to hang with the top guys in the WWE. But man, does he have good facial expressions and good body mannerisms. He has that. I'll give him that. This was a very good match. Very strong opening match. And the fans roared. They loved it. So I can't say enough good things about this, Mike. I was really in awe. When the match was over, I really was like a back to being, you know, 12 years old watching wrestling again. I'm just like, wow, I'm in awe of this match. And it made The Undertaker look phenomenal.
You know, you've said it before. The Undertaker had been basically your favorite wrestler of all time, right?
Yes.
You know, so... and. He basically, the best spot for him in that match was that leg drop he delivered on the apron. They keep saying, well, the apron is the hardest part of the ring. All right. Well, if you're delivering a leg drop on the apron, that's not going to feel good. I mean, yeah, it's not going to feel good for the guy who's taking it, but your tailbone's going to land on the apron and all that stuff, and it's a hard thing. And that was a good spot for The Undertaker. And basically, he no-sold it as he should, you know, being The Undertaker and all. So, and of course, we get to see the whole him setting up and all that stuff after him being beat on a few minutes. And then, of course, you know, Roman Reigns comes in there and does what he does. But again, The Undertaker looked like, you know, like you said, this is him making up for the several. It's not just the one in Saudi Arabia. The several matches he had against Goldberg were horrible matches, and I believe there was a horrible match thrown in there versus
Triple H and Shawn Michaels as well. Yeah, that wasn't a good match either. But I got to tell you, even more than that, I mean, just everything worked perfectly. You want to talk about a professionally done match? You want to talk about a match with no flaws, really? Everybody was right where they were supposed to be. There was those elements, the way the camera even shot. I don't know how many people thought, uh-oh, this is where Drew McIntyre is going to Claymore kick The Undertaker. Never saw Roman Reigns in the camera shot coming to just cut him in half with a spear. Never saw it. Everything functioned perfectly. Everyone hit their spots perfectly. This was as professional a match as you're going to get. And The Undertaker stepped it up five notches. And that's why the crowd roared, because the crowd at some point said, wait a minute, this is like The Undertaker from 10 years ago. He's not slow. He's not out of breath. He's not pulling no punches. He's doing the leg drops on the apron. He's doing all the fast stuff. He's running a little bit. He's creating motion in the ring. This is not an old man who's just tired and just let me live on my laurels. This is a guy who said, I'm going to come out there and compete. It was an excellent match. Now, whether you think the Shane McMahon thing getting pinned is right or wrong, that's your opinion. But as far as the match is concerned, Todd, I thought this was a great match.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, there was no botches in that match at all. It was like everybody was doing their part in that match. Like you said, it's one of Taker's better matches recently. Like you said, it reminds me of The Undertaker back in 1990 when he debuted at the Survivor Series. It reminds me
that The Undertaker is far from being finished. I mean, and I even love the spot where Shane gives him the coast-to-coast, tries to crawl over to make the pin, and he sits up, and Shane looks like he shit his pants and tries to crawl away. Everything worked perfectly. They had the crowd in the palm of their hands. And this was a crowd who wasn't good all night long, by the way. We'll get to that. I don't know why this crowd got bored or restless. I really don't know, because this crowd got a great pay-per-view with all kinds of great matches. So I don't know why they got restless later on, but man, they were into this. And I said to myself, well, I don't know, man. If this isn't laying down the gauntlet, if this isn't saying here's a non-wrestler in Shane McMahon, an old wrestler in The Undertaker, Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns, and they have probably put the match of the night on first match in. That's laying down the gauntlet for the next guys. So I'm saying to myself, well, let's see how they follow this. Well, they follow it with the Usos versus the Revival. And this is a barn burner of a match. This match started out a little slow. But man, did this match pick up. This was the tag team wrestling we want to see from the WWE. And during the whole thing, I'm saying to myself, SmackDown tag teams are not going to be able to top this. It's not going to be able to be topped. This is not, they're going to steal this. Raw's going to steal this, because they put on a great performance. The Revival winning almost assuredly tells me that they've re-signed, which is a very good thing, because if you can put on these type of quality matches. Now, this type of match, let me explain, is a little bit more what I would call modern booking. By that, I mean, we just saw an old school match with a big storyline involved and a lot of booking. This was just solid athletes going at it, doing what they do best, more of the modern booking. Lots of flips and flops and this and that and tag team moves and whatever. But you can have all that on one show. As long as you don't feed somebody a steady diet or something. I like pizza. I don't want it every meal. So we got two back-to-back great matches that were nothing the same. nothing like one another. One is a traditional old school booking with a really great psychology and a really good story behind it. The other is just two great athletic teams going at it. Yeah, there's a little bit of a feud, but it ain't based on anything. It was basically just two great teams going at it. Excellent match all the way around. I have no complaints about this at all, Mike.
Yeah, and look, it's a good thing that they got them away. That the other thing is they got them away from Shane. All right? That's a good thing. That's also something that told me that they basically if they would have kept them with Shane McMahon, you know, then, well, yeah, they're going to lose the match and they're not re-signing. Well, they got them away. They put on this match. They're re-signed in my mind.
I agree. I just think this match shows you what these teams are capable of. The Usos elevated the Revival last night. The Usos didn't need that win. They only would have got that win if the Revival wasn't re-signing. And I just think everything worked perfectly. It was great. I was extremely happy so far with this pay-per-view. I'm saying to myself, my God, how are they going to top these things? We then get around to Aleister Black and Cesaro. And you know what my feeling was about that? That if Aleister Black is going to be a big, 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 big star, he can't have all the trouble in the world with Cesaro, because at the end of the day, it's going to be like, okay, well, lots of people got by Cesaro. If he just barely does, how's he ever going to get by a guy like, you know, Brock Lesnar or, you know, Roman Reigns or somebody big? Well, they went a different way with this match. They went more to the modern booking. But man, again, what a great overall match. And I know that Aleister Black is a very popular guy with the indie crowd especially. And for good reason, he's a very good athlete. And he's a very good professional wrestler. But if you're a talent scout and you're sitting in that audience and you don't know either of these guys from Adam, I'm looking at this match saying that Cesaro guy is fucking awesome. The other guy's very good. The Cesaro guy is fucking awesome. Cesaro lost, and by losing, he appears to be more awesome than even I thought he was. Cesaro better not be a wasted talent, because that guy can go. I know he has a little bit of trouble on the mic, and that's going to hold him back if he doesn't do something about it. But man, can that guy go. I'm watching this and I'm just saying to myself, this, it just looks like a real fight. This doesn't even look like a wrestling match. This looks like two guys who are, honest to God, fighting. A lot of these kicks and punches were stiff. You can see it on the replay. When they're not afraid to show you the replay in really slow motion, close up, it's because it landed pretty damn good. And they showed a lot of those with Cesaro and Aleister Black. There was crap landing all over the place. It was very logical, with Black trying to take Cesaro's legs out so his strength factor wouldn't be there. Cesaro, having scouted him, reversing some of his moves, trying to get into his head a little bit and anger him. It was a very, very solid wrestling match. I came away thinking more of Cesaro than I already did, and I already thought Cesaro was one of the best two or three wrestlers there already. If they can manage to get him to a point where he can sell his own fights and he can get on that microphone and do what he does, Cesaro is your guy. I'm telling you, that guy can put on some great matches. I don't want him to fall into the Dolph Ziggler category, though. And that's what happens sometimes when you're really, really good at selling other people. You become that first guy that someone has to beat that's new coming in, that first major roadblock that they have to get by in order to climb the ladder. And I don't want Cesaro to be that. I didn't want Dolph Ziggler to be that. But I sure as hell don't want Cesaro to be that. You leave that for the Heath Slaters and the Curtis Axels and the Bo Dallases and stuff. Don't give that to Cesaro. I'm telling you, you'll be making a huge mistake if you do. The one move where he literally catches Aleister Black with his legs bent, throws him up in the air, and gives him that European uppercut was just absolutely sensational. Absolutely sensational. And by the way, they can't really help you by jumping too much when their legs are bent like that. That's Cesaro's strength throwing that man up there. There was a lot of physicality in that match. You want physical. You don't want light workers and crap, you know, maneuvers or whatever. Well, you got it, because this was a great one, Mike.
It was a great one. And here's a little detail that I believe a lot of people might have missed. When he tried to put on the sharpshooter, and he was having problems because of the fact that up until then, Black had been working on his leg.
Right.
You know, that's a little detail that a lot of people might have missed. You know, usually there's no problem. He just slaps it on you and you're good to go, you know, and he's good to go. But he really couldn't sink that thing in because of the fact that Black had been working on his leg. This was an incredible match. And look, I'll put it to you this way about Cesaro. If Bischoff can take a guy who's got a good personality but is poor on the mic and is poor in the ring in Goldberg and make him what he made Goldberg, what can he do with Cesaro?
I can only hope something major, because I got to tell you that Cesaro came out of this match looking like, I like the way they booked it, as far as I don't think it made Aleister Black look like he's ready for a championship. So that in that, they might have failed a little bit. But I think Cesaro came out of this looking like, if I didn't get hit with that kick, which kind of came out of nowhere, I was pretty close to winning this match. That's kind of what the booking was. The booking was Cesaro was starting to dominate a little. Black was getting frustrated. A lot of his crap wasn't working. He managed to get in that kick, and that was it. And man, did Cesaro sell the kick good, by the way. It looked like he got knocked out. It looked like a UFC fight where you see somebody get kicked and they just go goodbye. Eyes roll back in their head and goodbye. So he sold the Black Mass perfectly. Perfectly. This was an extraordinarily good match and made both guys look good, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they both were throwing stiff kicks to each other back and forth throughout the whole match. It was a pretty good match. And like you said, I like to see Cesaro go up the ranks of the singles competition, maybe to get back up to the mid-card type, get like a mid-card
yeah,
title.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he was throwing some stiff uppercuts, too. These guys had just, you know, listen, I have no backstage info, but I would be willing to bet you that these two guys backstage said, let's just throw down. Let's not play this, you know, let's not play sugar punches with each other. You're tough, I'm tough, let's go in there and throw. Because, man, they did. They went in there and they threw. That was an extraordinary match. So I'm three matches in to this thing, and I'm saying to myself, I'm actually four matches in, and I'm saying, my God, there hasn't been a flaw in this pay-per-view. Here comes Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley. And here's the flaw. Here we go. This is where it all turns to dust. Wrong again. These guys tore the goddamn roof off the building. They fought in the ring. They fought out of the ring. They fought in the audience. They fought on the stairs. They fought on the second floor of the snack stand. They fought. One poor guy almost got mauled. That wasn't a plant. That guy's running for his life. He's being pushed out of the way by, I don't know whether it was Lashley or Strowman, but they're literally like, get the fuck out of the way. Fans were into it. Fans are chanting ECW. These guys are throwing down, man. When you see Bobby Lashley try to do a running leap off the barricade move, you know these guys are really going for it. So I have to give Bobby Lashley all the credit in the world, too. He really went for it last night. And Braun Strowman throwing him over the freaking thing. It looked like he killed a couple of the foreign announcers. And once again, I'm saying to myself, this looks like a real fight. He picked up Bobby Lashley at one point and threw him against the solid wall of the arena, and he landed on the goddamn ground, which is not padded in any way, shape, or form. That's that hard marble surface. That doesn't feel good. On his fucking head. These guys were going for it. Somebody lit a fire under their asses. And you're not going to tell me it's business as usual with Vince McMahon and Triple H and all those. I don't believe it. Somebody said, cut the freaking ties and let these guys wrestle. And guess what? Last night they did. Fans loved it. Bobby Lashley, see, this is the great thing about matches like this. Bobby Lashley's not all that hurt by it. It's not a little roll up. 1, 2, 3, oops, I lost. It's, well, Jesus Christ. At what point do you say, of course he's not getting up? Braun Strowman looks like a monster again. Bobby Lashley still looks like one tough son of a bitch. Everybody's helped. Everybody's helped by this. I came away with a much better feeling of Bobby Lashley. He wasn't dogging it last night. That dude went for it last night. Braun Strowman was used exactly the way you use Braun Strowman. Exactly the way you use Braun Strowman. I loved even the smallest touches of things that they did here. I loved. But my favorite part was that guy running in horror as they're pushing him out of the way. They had to literally get the fuck out of your seat and get the hell out of here. Because that creates real chaos. And fans are saying, this is really out of control. Fans are getting pushed around here. They did their best to recreate the snack bar as well with a few t-shirts and things. They did an okay job with that. But the bottom line of the situation is a very, very entertaining match. And once again, this match wasn't like any of the other ones. We had the Undertaker and Roman Reigns match first. That wasn't anything like the Usos and the Revival. And neither one of those matches were anything like Cesaro versus Aleister Black. And this match wasn't anything like any of the other ones. So we're this far in and we've gotten very distinctive, separate styles of wrestling. All good. Because you're not forcing wrestlers to do a style that they don't want to do. Or they can't really do. And I think that's the key, Mike.
Right. Up until this point, I'm looking at this card up until this point, and I'm saying this smacks, this entire card smacks of Paul Heyman. Because this is a Paul Heyman thing, you know. He, basically, when he ran an ACW, right, he'd give you a cruiserweight match. He'd give you a hardcore match. He'd give you this. He'd give you that, and you'd be entertaining. Look. My two favorite spots in that match was, one, Braun Strowman basically digging his way out from under that announce table with all those wires and stuff. That could have been very dangerous. And him just blowing through that wall or whatever it was at the end of the match.
Well, yeah. The first thing I thought of when he came through the wall is like the Shockmaster. When he comes through the wall, I said, please don't trip and fall on your ass and lose the match. But yeah, it was brilliant. And the fact that the referee couldn't see, so he's blindly counting, and the fans couldn't see, so they don't know who's going to get up first. See, that's a brilliant piece of booking, where the camera shot is just on that area, and you're like, I don't know, he's counting. Both, we don't see either guy stirring, we don't know. And then, boom, Braun Strowman comes through the wall. Very nicely done. Very, very nicely done. For the type of match it was, Todd, very good match.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a pretty good match. This is like one of the better matches with Bobby Lashley was in a long time. The part where Lashley speared Strowman through the barricade back to the ringside area, that was like crap.
Yeah, that was cool too. Yeah, there was a lot of cool spots in this match. Both of them tried hard. Not the hugest Bobby Lashley fan, but I have a lot of more respect for him than I did because he tried hard. And I'm here to tell you that a lot of the things that they did last night hurt. No doubt about it. Not maybe. They fought hard. They weren't dogging it. They weren't, well, I don't want to get sweaty, or I don't want to worry about bruising my kneecap, or I don't want to worry about getting a bump on my head. These guys were going for it. Like they used to. Before everything became just do your dance routine and go home. Do a little dance. Jump over them. Do a flip. Look like you didn't really hit them. Roll him up for a small package. Neither one of you will break a sweat. And back to catering with you. No, they went for it. They fought. See, that's the thing I want people to understand. I've been involved in these type of matches, these hardcore type matches. And yes, of course, it's predetermined, but it's still kind of a fight. I don't know how to explain it any better, except to say, while you're in it, you're not trying to hurt the person severely, but it is a fight. You know you're going to feel it. You know they're going to feel what you're inflicting on them, and you're going to feel what they're inflicting on you, and it's understood that's the way it's going to be. And you just say, we're going to let it all hang out. And I think that's what they did last night to a lesser degree. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to, you know, it's not Tommy Dreamer and Raven, but I'm just saying for those guys to do what they did, that's the best you're going to get out of both of them. You made the best use you possibly could out of those guys. And that's a great match. We then get Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross against Bayley. And I knew this match was going to slow things down a bit, and it did. But it still wasn't bad. Yeah, there was no payoff. I really thought we were going to see Sasha Banks back. But still, we saw Alexa Bliss really go for it. Nikki Cross did a good job. Bayley comes out of this looking like a legit champ. And while it wasn't the quality of the other matches, it was better than I thought it was going to be. So let me just say that. It wasn't my favorite match of the night. It wasn't my fifth or sixth favorite match of the night. But it was better than I thought it was going to be, Mike.
The biggest deal in this for me is Bayley looking strong. That's the biggest deal for me out of this.
Yeah, I agree with that. She came out looking really, really good. Really good. Because at the end of the day, you know, all Corey Graves does is kind of put her down and say, she's this and she's that, you know. And at some point, they got to start giving her credit saying, well, I don't know. You know, it was almost, to this point, this pay-per-view was almost perfect. I'm literally in my head saying, this is what they should probably do next. This is what the announcer should probably say at this point. And they're doing it. And I'm saying to myself, oh, my God. It's coming off exactly the way I think this should be. So up to this point, a little disappointed we didn't see Sasha. I still think we're going to really soon. But still. So now we get the New Day. Daniel Bryan, Eric Rowan, and Heavy Machinery. And I truly say to myself, well, they're not going to have the match. I know that Daniel Bryan's brilliant, and I know the New Day is good, but you got three teams in here. You're not going to have the match that the Revival and the Usos did. And I was right. They did not have the match that the Revival and the Usos did. But it was every bit as good. It's just it was good in a different way because it's not the Usos and the Revival. Suddenly the WWE is waking up and realizing not every match has to be the same style. You can let these guys just do their style, do what they do best. There were some great moments in this match. Some really great moments in this match. This is the best Heavy Machinery has looked since they got here. Period. And I love the ending with Big E just psyching himself up. There's a big, huge guy that has sometimes been not underutilized a little bit. And finally to just see that and say, holy crap, man. You know, and even the announcer saying, uh-oh, Big E's lost it. He's lost his mind. Now there is trouble. He's lost his mind. There was these behind-the-back tags that you say, the Daniel Bryan tagged in. He's going to win. That's how they're going to win. No, there was a lot of false finishes. There was a lot of what I call show-off things. In other words, it's teams that want to, for instance, Heavy Machinery. You wanted to show off some of the things they can do, and boy, did you. With Tucker actually doing the flip from the top, and Otis teasing he was going to do it, and then getting out and jumping, and they were able to show a little more than the comedy this time, which is a really good thing, and they didn't lose, which is also a really good thing. Now, some people didn't like the fact that Daniel Bryan took the pin. I'm okay with it. And once again, we called this New Day going to have all the belts. Well, up to this point, they certainly did. So once again, I think this match was as good as this match really could be. There wasn't really any flaws in it, Mike.
There really wasn't any flaws. And look, I said it before. I mean, and look, Daniel Bryan took a couple of good shots to his head in the match, you know. And I'm saying, okay, if he's going to take those shots to the head, they're going to split these two guys up, and he's going to be a singles guy now. And maybe so will Rowan as well. But, you know, that's what I was thinking as I was watching him take those shots to the head. And I did like, yeah, basically what Big E was doing was Hulk Hogan, you know?
Yep.
You know, he was, you know, what you call it, would do the yes kicks and all that stuff and, you know, no selling and no selling and no selling, you know? That's basically what Big E was doing. I can't believe they haven't had him do this before, you know?
I can't believe it either because fans like that kind of stuff. You could say it's hokey all you want. But there's a thrill of the moment of you can't do it all the time like they did in the Hogan era. You know, you don't want to do it all the time. But once in a while, to have a guy just get into that zone where you say, uh-oh, he's had enough. That's kind of cool. There's a feel to that never gets old. Thought this was a really good match for what it was, Todd. And again, I was very happy with it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was another pretty good match. You know, like you said, there was no mess. Like we said before, there was no botches or anything. It was like another great match right there between all three teams, between Heavy Machinery, The New Day, and Daniel Bryan and Rowan there. And like you said, it was pretty cool to see the other members of The New Day having the belts again.
Yeah, it has a great feel to it. We predicted that was going to happen, and it did. AJ Styles and Ricochet. 100% the best match they've had so far. I absolutely loved the booking of this match, and I'll tell you why. The club was at ringside, but they were not interfering. They were shouting advice. AJ was doing a good job of selling Ricochet, yelling at Carl Anderson, he won't stay down. Carl Anderson actually gets hit by Ricochet. Ricochet actually strikes the first blow on the club when they weren't interfering. And the announcers rightfully say, well, look, he knows it's just a matter of time, so he's trying to take them out before they take him out because it's obviously going to just be a matter of time. That's a pretty good philosophy. And we as fans can say, yeah, that's probably true. But up to this point, they weren't. So the bad guy announcer can say, rightfully, they weren't bothering anybody. Maybe better just concentrate on AJ Styles. And then, when you least expect it, Anderson points out AJ Styles' foot is under the ropes, which is a perfectly legal move to point out. And in the distraction of Anderson getting thrown in the ring, Gallows waylays Ricochet, and AJ Styles is the new United States champion. Very good decision. Very, very good decision. This does not harm Ricochet. Not in the least. Because we clearly saw he was every bit equal to AJ Styles. They booked this brilliantly by having him win one, AJ Styles win one, so then we, you know, we're even. We've won one apiece, and this one sure looked like it was going Ricochet's way until interference. So Ricochet's not harmed by this. AJ Styles and the club would have been decimated by this loss. So this was the right decision. Ricochet tried hard. AJ Styles put on one of the better matches he's put on in a long time. Looked good in doing it. Both of these guys, you can tell, have a healthy respect for one another. Went out there and said, let's do the best we can. Neither one of these guys dogged it. The theme for this entire show was none of these wrestlers thus far, and there's one exception coming up, but I wouldn't even take umbrage with that. Not one of these athletes looked like they were dogging it last night. What it looked like to me was that the handcuffs were off. What it looked like to me is they said, you go out there and hey, if the opening match beats your match, that's your fault. You got the ability to go out there and steal the show. Go do it. And every guy tried. And every guy in their own way sort of did. I enjoyed each and every single one of these matches up to this point. Each and every single one. So I was very happy with this match overall, Mike. I thought it was their best one, and I thought it was the right outcome.
It is the right outcome. And, well, you know, the club needed a way to make them look strong. And this was it, you know. They have to look strong if they're going to be this antagonist group, you know, this group that is going to cause chaos. And they have, and this is the start of it. This is going to be the start of something which will eventually end up with them either putting together another group or bringing up somebody like the Undisputed Era to go against the club, you know.
Yeah, listen, the club had to win this. AJ Styles had to win this. Otherwise, they're decimated. There's absolutely no reason to have them reform if they're just going to lose their first feud. This didn't hurt Ricochet in any way, Todd, and I think this was a great match start to finish.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was another great match. Everybody did what they were supposed to do and didn't mess up anything.
See, and when you allow these guys to do their matches, both guys come out looking good. Like, Ricochet didn't come out looking like a wuss. You know what I mean? Like, the first match they did on Raw, where AJ Styles won, you're like, eh, it didn't make Ricochet look that good. And then when AJ Styles lost, it was like, eh, it didn't really make AJ look too hot. This match, you come away and you're like, they both look good. They both look really good, like Cesaro and Aleister Black did. They still both look really good. Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley, they still both look really good. When you do a good job like that, nobody's really that hurt by it because you come out saying, wow, that was a great match. Really good match. So, again, it looks like the handcuffs are off at this point. And, of course, we had Paul Heyman come out and say, maybe I guarantee he's going to cash in and then say, or am I just being Paul Heyman? I'm not sure this helped anything because then Kofi Kingston comes out for his match with Samoa Joe, and the fans start chanting, we want Lesnar, no we don't. We want Lesnar, no we don't. And not really paying any attention to the match. This is the WWE's fault. This is a 100%, I know some people got on the crowd and said it's disrespectful to Kofi. It really wasn't disrespectful to Kofi. This crowd was not into this match because there was no possible way that Samoa Joe had been booked as a guy who would ever win this match. That's why the crowd wasn't into it. It wasn't that they weren't into it because we don't like Kofi as a champion or we don't like Samoa Joe as a wrestler. They weren't into it because the storyline is absurd. Samoa Joe loses and loses and loses and loses and then potentially takes on your top guy. And he's supposed to win? That's dumb. And that was the WWE's booking's fault. This was still a good match. This was still one of the better Samoa Joe matches. I loved him trying to break his finger for giving him the middle finger. I loved some of the outside work with the stairs that they did. I loved how Kofi fought back and gave him the finger with the other hand out of spite. The ending was pretty abrupt. I literally bent down to like grab something, look up, and I'm like, he's pinned. Somebody must have put a bug in their ear and the match right now. We're running short. Because boy, oh boy. They ended that like lightning struck Samoa Joe. But it ended exactly the way I told you it was going to end. Trouble in Paradise out of nowhere. 1, 2, 3. Goodbye, Joe. Samoa Joe needs to take a vacation. I was really hoping he was going to beat Kofi up afterward and leave him hurt, and everyone would think that's when Lesnar's coming. But no, and then maybe suspend Joe for his actions and, you know, take a month off or so to regroup, and then we get a much meaner, much more aggressive Samoa Joe later. But no, I don't know what they're going to do with Joe. This was one of my least favorite matches of the night only because, A, the storyline made no sense. B, there was absolutely no excitement in it. We knew who was winning. I mean, 100% knew who was winning. And C, no one wanted to see Joe just beat like a dog again. Every feud he's in, it's the same thing. So it was kind of like bittersweet to watch Kofi Kingston win. You're like, yeah, cool. But at the same time, poor Joe. You know, he kind of deserves a little better than to lose every single feud he's in. So, while they both did a good job, Mike, this probably was my least favorite match of the night.
Right, and I can see that, and that's the thing. Now, I said it on Sunday that Joe is a guy that when he was with TNA, when he was with Impact, he was always up at the top of the card. Maybe lower championship quality, lower, you know, top of the card, but always there. That's not how they're booking him in the WWE for some reason. I mean, he's good on the mic. He can sell his fights. Yeah.
Yep.
His in-ring work is maybe a little bit above average, maybe average, but he can sell his fights. I mean, really? You're going to treat him this way?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, but again, that's the WWE's fault. They planned this beforehand, and they had to go through with it, and I just think it's a disaster. Hopefully, we can see him get rebuilt. I don't know what it's going to take. I'm not sure what it's going to take. It's going to take a lot. Remember, Bray Wyatt had to go away for a very long time, and we still aren't sure he's rebuilt. And I liken exactly what they're doing to Samoa Joe to Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt was the same way. He'd sell his fight and sell his fight and sell his fight and be good on the mic and good with his skits and then lose. And then he'd pick another guy and he'd do the same thing and he'd lose. And then another guy and he'd lose. That's what Bray Wyatt did, and you destroyed Bray Wyatt. And you had to send him away for how long? And you didn't learn from your lesson because you're doing the exact same thing with Samoa Joe. So that's unfortunate, but it was still an okay match. We then get to the one that I'm saying to myself, well, they saved the worst for last because this is going to be a disaster. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. And I still say this, Baron Corbin is a lazy wrestler. I don't care how many people get mad about that. I don't know whether it's lazy or he's just not super well trained. Because there's parts in this match where he's like totally underselling, where you're just like, it didn't even look like, you know, he's getting punches thrown at him. He's like, I don't want to have to bother to react to it. Do I really have to bother reacting to that? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. And then there are parts when he's okay. It's really weird about him. He'll have like a section of a match where you're like, okay, this is, he's doing good. This is good. And then he'll have parts where it's just like, wow, he dogged that whole minute part there. So I don't know what the problem is with Baron Corbin. I'm sure he's doing as good as he can. That's just his style. Randy Orton does that too sometimes. So I don't know. Maybe that's just their style. But it's frustrating to watch. And it's going to stop him, in my opinion, from being a huge, huge star. But this was not that bad of a match. I thought Lacey Evans did better than she has since she arrived. She looked a hell of a lot better this time in the ring than she has. And then we get to that one spot where Baron Corbin literally gives the end of days to Becky Lynch. And suddenly I realize we're in a new era. This is the same people who wouldn't let the Bludgeon Brothers touch Naomi. But an end of days on Becky Lynch. And it's the only thing that woke the crowd up. The crowd was very, very dead through this match. I don't know whether they were tired or they were bored, but you hear pin drop. And there were some moves that deserved a pop, like Seth and Becky both do the double table thing. That deserved a really big pop, and that got a smattering, but the crowd was just like, okay, yeah, that was cool. Crowd was dead for this. We're going to get to this in a minute. Yeah, I know, I miss Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler, please. That wasn't even supposed to be a match, and all that really was a way to get Kevin Owens on the show and get him to yell about Seth Rollins. I mean, about Shane McMahon. That's all. That wasn't a match. Told you they're going to make Kevin Owens big time, though. Told you they're going to make Kevin Owens the modern-day Stone Cold Steve Austin, and they are. And how do you do it? Well, he just doesn't even give Dolph Ziggler an inch. It's, you're Dolph Ziggler? Psh, you're nothing. Goodbye. That's what Stone Cold used to do in his era. Anyway, Seth and Becky, you know, put on a pretty good match, but the crowd is kind of dead. Seth snaps when he sees Becky Lynch getting manhandled by Baron Corbin. Goes to working on him with a kendo stick and a chair and gives him three curb stomps and everything else under the sun and pins him. And then we hear Brock Lesnar's music, and sure enough, here comes Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman, and Brock Lesnar cashes it in after a couple of German suplexes. He cashes it in, one F5, and it's all over for Seth Rollins, and Brock Lesnar is the new champion. I know that makes some people very unhappy, but let's talk about it. Seth Rollins as a face champion wasn't working out anymore. It just wasn't working out. If it was, where's all the crowd behind him during this match? There were fans chanting, "We want Lesnar." And some were chanting, "No, we don't." But still, there were some that said, "Chant, we want Lesnar." Seth was doing a pretty good job as a face, and he was getting it pretty good until the Becky Lynch thing was added. And I warned everybody, I said, if you make Seth Rollins one of these mamby-pamby, yes, ma'am, I'm behind my girlfriend, I'm one of these modern males who, I won't hold the door open for her because she can hold the door open for me, that the crowd was going to lose their perspective of who Seth Rollins was. And it happened quick. And they didn't look at Seth Rollins the same way anymore. And it's not the guy we want as champion. And there was nobody left anyway. Who's he going to fight? Who's left on that roster? Who do you want to see him fight? Bobby Lashley? Braun Strowman? Who? I know people are going to say, oh, right back to a part-time champion. Let's not go crazy just yet. I don't know if Brock Lesnar is going to get by SummerSlam as champion. I tend to doubt it. I think this is a very short-term thing. But I don't want to give it back to Seth Rollins because I don't think Seth Rollins has proven that him as the top guy is best for business. I just don't think he's proven it. As a heel, he proved it when he carried the WWE on his shoulders for a whole year. As a face, this time around, it wasn't working. It was not working. You need to get somebody else in that spot. And right now, I think the interim champion is Brock Lesnar. Seth will chase the belt. Maybe he'll go for it on that Raw reunion show or something. That would boost ratings. But I don't think he's going to get it back. But I also don't think that Brock Lesnar is going to keep it very long. I think they've just reset the chart here and said, okay, it's Paul's show. Paul's naturally going to go with Brock at first. But and this is why Seth Rollins probably wasn't too thrilled Paul Heyman took the show over, because he knew what Paul Heyman was going to do. He was going to give the belt back to Brock temporarily at least, and then say, while we're working on building some guys to take on Brock, at least Brock's there. He's a presence. We can't keep having pay-per-views with Seth Rollins when there's nobody for Seth Rollins to fight, that anybody's interested in watching him fight. We had to scrape the bottom of the barrel to get a Baron Corbin as the main event on this pay-per-view. Who's next? So I think Heyman said temporarily give it to Lesnar, so he probably won't have to fight till SummerSlam or whatever. We'll build up some guys in the meantime, so we got something going. We'll give Seth a rematch, but in the meantime, we can build up some legitimate contenders because we don't have any. Which is exactly correct. Exactly correct. So I don't have a problem with this. I honestly do not have a problem with it. I don't like Brock Lesnar as champion any more than most of you. But if you're going to give me the option of Brock Lesnar unsuccessfully cashes in and Seth Rollins is still the champion, then my next question to you is, and who on Monday night does Seth Rollins get challenged by when there isn't anybody? See, at least this way, Seth Rollins can say, I want my rematch, which is fine. He'll get it. While that's building and those two guys can build their big rematch, Paul Heyman has the opportunity to get some guys in line who we want to see fight Brock Lesnar. Or if he chooses to go with Seth Rollins, who we want to see fight Seth Rollins if he wins it back. But at least he has the ability to build up some guys in the meantime because there's nobody there. There's no one in line right now that we say, well, that's the guy. Can't wait to see Seth Rollins fight fill in the blank. And don't give me stupid stuff like Aleister Black. He's on SmackDown. Give me a real guy on Raw. Oh, I can't wait to see Seth Rollins defend his belt against. Nobody. Because they haven't built up anybody. So I'm for this, Mike. Give Brock Lesnar the belt and give Paul a little time to build some people.
Right. I'm for it as well. But I tell you what, that spot with Becky Lynch and Corbin, that smacks of Paul Heyman. Because how many times did we see Beulah, did we see any number of those women in ECW take the 3D or whatever it was that they took from the Dudley Boys or whoever they took it from, that, you know, why couldn't we get that from
Why couldn't we get that from somebody like that? I mean, we've said it before with the Bludgeon Brothers. They should have been at least able to menace Naomi. Just menace her, you know.
I agree with you so much, Mike, and I thought Corey Graves did a good job of saying that's ridiculous. Now, that is crossing the line because he's up Baron Corbin's butt, supposedly. So when he says, oh, wait a minute, you can't do that. That's outrageous. Then it means more. That's the old Jerry Lawler thing. Jerry Lawler used to do that. I told the story with when Doink the Clown was the heel, and nobody was really buying him as a heel. And he'd do these horrible things to people, and Lawler would say, I do think that's funny. You guys just have no sense of humor. Doink is hilarious. Look what he just did to that guy. Look what he just did to that kid's balloon. Look what he just did to this person. That's hilarious. And, of course, Jim Ross would say, it's not funny. It's sick. He's a sick man. Oh, you got no sense of humor, Ross. Then, when he almost cripples Crush, and there's a hush that falls over the building, and Jim Ross says to Jerry Lawler, I suppose that's funny. And Jerry Lawler says, no, that's not one bit funny. That's disgusting. He's really went over the line. There's no excuse for that whatsoever. It meant more. And fans were like, holy shit, even Jerry Lawler says he crossed the line. That's serious. Well, that's what happened last night with Corey Graves when Corey Graves says, that's outrageous. You can't do that. That's great. That's what's missing. A lot of the things that were missing from the WWE suddenly showed up last night. And you're going to sit here and tell me it's just magic. Vince McMahon woke up this morning and said, oh, I know what's missing. And he filled in all the blanks. No, I don't believe that. I believe that finally Vince McMahon has said it's time for somebody to take the reins. And he's handed it over to some people, whether it's Paul and a couple of writers that Paul trusts or Eric Bischoff and a couple of writers he trusts. I don't know. But I'm just telling you that last night, everything that was missing showed up. Great wrestling, matches that look like fights and not ballet dancing. See, that's another problem with wrestling. Wrestling is supposed to be a fight. It's supposed to be an exhibition of acrobatics. It's not supposed to be a ballet dance. It's not supposed to be, gymnastics event. It's supposed to be a fight. Last night, every match I saw looked like a fight. I shut the TV off and I said, I feel like I'm 15 years ago. I can't wait to see what happens on Raw tonight. There's all kinds of things that could possibly happen. I can't wait to see how Paul Heyman ushers in this new thing heading for SummerSlam. This is great. There's no doubt in my mind that every single match, and again, Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler, I don't count as a match, last night had a feel of its own. It was its own unique entity. It wasn't that one was just like the last one. And now this one's going to be booked just like the one before it. That's what it used to be. This Todd felt like every match had its own story and its own life.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Like you said, it had its own different story, like in the different matches. You had your comedy storyline. You have your comedy matches, your serious matches. It had like different stories in it. Like they're telling like a story in the matches.
Each match had its own pulse. There was it was the style of the people that was involved. They didn't go out and say, you have to work this style. You have to do this. You have to do that. They just let them do it. And everybody played to their own strengths. Whatever their strength may be, they played to it. The announcers did a much better job. Everybody did a good job. I was waiting for the 24/7 belt to ruin a match, and it didn't, thankfully. And I'm saying to myself, when this thing is done, I don't think I could have done it any better. not everybody won that I thought was going to win, and not every single outcome was exactly as I would have booked it. But I don't think I could have done any better. At the end of the day, I was really satisfied with every single one of these matches. And I'll tell you something else that maybe it's only me, but some of these guys felt like superstars again. Really weird, you know what I mean? Because I was looking at them and I'm saying to myself, this Jabron again. This guy again. That's what it used to be. And last night, everybody felt a little larger than life somehow. Everybody had a little gleam in their eye. Everybody had a little pep in their step. And I'm saying to myself, that's it. That's how you build these guys. That's how you build these stars. Everybody had a pep in their step and a purpose. I never seen such a night and day turnaround in a federation in my life, Mike.
You know, and that's the thing. And then look, you said, you know, the lack of a match with Kevin Owens, but it's just, that segment served its purpose, you know. Its purpose
it did,
was
I just call it
to
match.
Make – right. It served its purpose. It was to make him look like Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know. Mike Rourke, Stunner, even look. Take a look at his T-shirt. Look at the font on his T-shirt. It looks like the it looks like the Stone Cold Steve Austin 316 font.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's like just but like what.
There's no doubt they're going to build him up, Mike. They're going to build him up big, and this is the beginning. In my opinion, Kevin Owens by WrestleMania will probably be the champion.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mike?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, it did after they started, after they decided to say it was the same way with Becky Lynch. After they decided that she wasn't going to be a heel, then she took off. And you look at the font on her T-shirts as well early on, and it looked like the same Austin 316 punch on his T-shirts. In fact, we said that they were going to try and make her the Stone Cold Steve Austin at the time.
Of the women's division, so, no doubt about it. But let's look at these matches. Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley, they played to their strengths. What was it? Power, destruction, brutalization, that's it. They played to that strength. Cesaro and Aleister Black, striking and heavy blows and real heavy contact, like real MMA style, just go at each other. Played to that, worked. Everything worked because the guys looked like they were doing exactly what they're meant to do. They didn't try to make Braun Strowman a comedy act. They didn't try to make Aleister Black do, something against his grain. Everybody was used in the proper manner, and everybody came out of this looking better. The Usos weren't hurt one bit by this. The Revival looked like stars. Finn Balor wasn't hurt by this. We've got the resurrection now of Shinsuke Nakamura, who's one of the best wrestlers on the planet. New Day's back to being champion. That doesn't hurt Daniel Bryan any. He's probably going to go solo after this anyway. And they let Heavy Machinery do enough, so they really came out looking good. Everybody, even in losing, except for Dolph Ziggler and maybe Nikki Cross, came out looking better than they have anyway, even though they lost. And Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe last night was the real loser. If anybody was the real loser last night, it's Samoa Joe. Because I don't care if your name is Eric Bischoff or Paul Heyman. You better scratch your ass and really think hard about how you're going to rebuild this guy, because he has been destroyed. If you want the technical definition of being buried, he's being buried. I don't care if you say, well, he got so many main events. I don't care. He hasn't won any of them. Not one. He has been made to look like a clown, like a big mouth who has nothing to back it up. Like a guy who says, I'm the toughest guy in the world, can't take one shot. And you're going to have to do a lot of work to rebuild him. A lot. I know there were some people disappointed that Bray Wyatt didn't show up. Don't worry about it. There was no spot for him. You don't want a guy just to show up to say he showed up. You want a guy to show up when it matters. You want a guy to show up when you say there's the most maximum impact we can get from a guy. Let's just watch. This is movement in a positive direction. This is exactly what the WWE needed. This is a shot of adrenaline straight into the vein. I have not enjoyed a pay-per-view this much in a very long time. And I've not had so many good things to say or so little bad. I can't even find to nitpick with most of these matches. There's nothing to really nitpick. These guys went out and did a phenomenal job, all of them. And with one or two exceptions, they all looked really, really, really happy. Did you notice that? Did you notice none of these guys look like, let me just get this over with and get back? They look like, I'm having a good time out here, man. I'm cutting loose. I'm having fun. That's what it felt like to me, and that translates from the ring to the fan. Now, those fans in attendance last night at ringside, I don't know what happened. I do know it started with Kofi and Samoa Joe, probably because they weren't interested in that storyline. And it held its way all the way through to the main event. Maybe they were tired. Maybe they had cheered themselves out, because I think a lot of these fans didn't think they were going to be cheering and yelling as much as they did for these other matches. I've been to wrestling cards where I've cheered myself out. I'm six matches in and I'm like, holy shit, man. I don't know how much more I got left in me to yell and scream. So that does happen. But I can't think of a better way to issue in a brand new year. I am willing to wipe my slate clean in the WWE and say, you've won me back. Let's see what you can do from here. We're going to erase all the bad, horrible nonsense that has happened over the last couple of years. The unbearable, ridiculous, illogical crap booking. The ruination of almost every character you ever tried to do anything with. And you've put it now in hands of people who I say I kind of trust. I'm still on Bischoff, but I trust Paul Heyman. And I'm willing now to say this is a new era. Let me just take it for what it's worth. So let me say that I very seldom do this. I'm giving this pay-per-view an A+. I don't see anything wrong with it, including giving that belt to Brock Lesnar. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, you thought Brock Lesnar won that Money in the Bank and he's not successfully cashing in. I don't know what to tell you. You already knew it. So what do you want to do? Stretch it out for another 6 months? This is the way to do it. Seth Rollins was on the decline as far as his popularity as champion. It's time to move on. Give it back to Lesnar temporarily till you can get some characters built up. Then if you want to give it back to Seth when we got some characters for him to fight, great. If you want to keep it on Lesnar when we got some characters for him to fight, great. I'm giving this an A+. Mike, what's your rating?
The only thing that's going to knock it down for me, and it's not going to be far, is the fact that there was no Sasha Banks. So, A for me.
Okay, so Mike gives it an A. I wouldn't take anything off for that because they never promised her. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with you. I got to go with an A+ for the first time ever.
Yeah, I don't give too many A+s. I do want to remind people of one thing before we depart this. And then we'll also give our favorite match of the night. But last night, for one of the first times, I watched the beginning. You know, when the music comes in, dun, 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 and they have that little disclaimer. And that disclaimer says very clearly, the people involved in WWE are actors. The word actors appears. A-C-T-O-R-S, actors. And they are actors playing fictional characters. They do not say they're athletes playing fictional characters. They do not say they are wrestlers playing fictional characters. They use the word actors. I've said this for a long time, and I will say it many, many, many more times. If you're a professional wrestler and you do not consider yourself an actor, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. I don't care if you're the best athlete in the world. You're an actor. You're playing a part, and you better have a character that people are interested in. Because otherwise, all your fancy moves, all your flippity-flop things, all your great technical chain wrestling, all your power, all anything that you have to offer athletic-wise won't mean a hill of beans if you can't get through to that audience a character that they absolutely can become absorbed in one way or the other. And that's why the word actor is used. That's going to be really hard for me to pick my favorite match of the night because they were all so different. That's why I love this pay-per-view. They were all so different. They all had an absolute life of their own. Every time I thought that's my favorite match, the next match comes along and I'm like, wow, that was really good. That might be my favorite match. It would be very hard for me to pick anything other than Aleister Black and Cesaro. But I'm going to. I honestly think my favorite match of the night was the opening match, and I thought I was going to hate this match. I could not believe my eyes at how good The Undertaker looked. Shane McMahon did a fabulous job of selling him. Drew McIntyre did a better than fabulous job. See, Drew McIntyre gets it. Drew McIntyre knows the acting ability. Drew McIntyre, for all of the acting, put on his swagger. He put on his, no one's afraid of the Undertaker, least of all me. And remember, I'm the guy that went monster hunting and wasn't afraid of Braun Strowman either. I'm a badass and I fear nothing. I'm a psychopath. And he didn't fear the Undertaker at the beginning either. But as the match wore on, you began to see in Drew McIntyre's face, what have I got myself into? What does it take to keep this guy down? The look of horror on his face when he caught Shane McMahon. This was all real quality stuff. Drew McIntyre's the real deal. He knows when he's supposed to show ass. He knows when he's supposed to show no weakness. He knows when he's supposed to show a little weakness. He knows when he's supposed to show fear, when he's supposed to show every emotion. He gets it. Shane McMahon gets it too, except Shane's not a wrestler. So he doesn't look the part. He doesn't look like the guy who could take these guys on. Drew McIntyre does. Drew McIntyre probably already knows the outcome of SummerSlam, which is that he's going to go over on The Undertaker. And he realized last night, I owe The Undertaker if he's going to put me over. And he gave it to him. So I have to say, it was a flawless match. It was just a flawless match. So for that reason, that's my pick. Mike, what's your favorite match of the night?
You know what? I'm going to go with the Bayley match, you know?
Really?
Because I like the fact that in the end, she looks strong. You know, yeah, you don't want to see her beat people up, beat two people at once, but you got to make the point that your champions are going to look strong in these big matches. They never did this to so-called Big Match John, you know.
Right.
They never made him look weak in big matches. So, yeah,
right.
That's my favorite match, but my favorite segment of
– Hold on. Let me get you back here. Hang on 1 second because we got a little trouble. Okay, go ahead.
My favorite segment of the night was after the tag team championships on SmackDown got won by the New Day, and they were basically in a celebratory mood. Who shows up but Paul Heyman to throw a damp rag on the whole situation and head
right.
on out to the thing. All he did was just show up there, and the mood changed.
That's why, in my opinion, Heyman has a genius for the moment. He understands the moment. And I'll tell you where this comes from. This comes from the fact that, in my opinion, Paul Heyman has always been a wrestling fan. And I've said it many, 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 many times. to the people who say you can't be a fan and be a booker, good booker. No, you better be a fan. Because how else are you going to know what those fans want to see? Paul Heyman has this feeling of, what would I want to see? What would make me go, holy shit? What would make me go, oh, man, that was awesome? What would do that? He has that ability. He's always had that ability. Always had that ability. And some of this, a lot of this last night, smacked to Paul Heyman. Todd, what was your favorite match of the night?
I got to say Strowman and Lashley.
That was a really good match
of the night.
It was definitely a good one. Who would have thought? Strowman and Lashley. Who would have thought both of our favorite matches? Who would have thought any one of our three matches that we just said were our favorites would be our favorites? I'm sure we were all going in saying it'll be Aleister Black and Cesaro, which was awesome. Or AJ Styles and Ricochet, which was awesome. Those were the givens, that those were going to be our, you know, favorite matches. Little did we know. Two matches I thought I would not be interested in at all. The Undertaker and Roman Reigns against Shane and Drew McIntyre blew the roof off the building. Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley blew the roof off the building. Bayley was made to look strong. Finally, we got a women's champion other than Becky Lynch, who really is made to look pretty damn strong now. They did a great job last night. And if I'm going to get on this radio show and criticize them to the nines for the crap that they do, and they do enough of it, then I have to be fair. And when they put on something awesome like this, I can't get out here just because it's fashionable and say, yeah, but Brock Lesnar's the champ. Yeah, but they misused Kevin Owens. Yeah, but poor Joe. Yeah, but there's no yeah, but. If you're going to do that, then there'll never be a good show because someone always has to lose. This is as close to perfect as you're going to get. I don't know how SummerSlam is going to beat this. But I'm looking forward to the fact that it might. Because we're going to have two guys in charge, one who knows wrestling inside and out, and the other who at the very minimum, understands how to draw attention. This could be a really good time for wrestling fans. I feel in my bones as if WWE's made a comeback. And if AEW has done nothing at all except to light this fire under the WWE, then God bless AEW, because this is the wrestling I want to see. I wasn't bored 1 minute of last night's show. Every match I was into. Hasn't happened in a long, long time. Monday Night Raw tonight should be very interesting. Very much looking forward to it. And we'll be back on here tomorrow at noon to run down everything. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.
At the end of the day, the best advice I can give you